Ghost Playground.
Hooray! He's in the Hall of Fame. He's won tons of awards. He jumped through fire, rode motorcycles, rode a bull, skied down arena stairs, can slam dunk, and is beloved by the community. His identity was a secret for 25 years. He's John Epsi, and he was an NBA mascot, the original Utah Jazz Bear. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today we find out how John got his start, how it came to an end, how his family and friends kept his secret for so long, and what it's like to be an NBA mascot for most of his adult life. Plus, he's got tons of stories.
Hi, my name's John Epsi, and I was the former Jazz Bear for 25 years.
So you're an NBA mascot?
Yes, well, I was. Yes, ma'am.
What year was it that you started?
93. 1993.
Okay. That's a really long time. And then what year was it?
Because I'm really old is what it is.
So am I. When did you stop being the Jazz Bear?
2018.
Okay.
October of
2018. And I know you've won a bunch of awards. Do you have, name some of them. I know there's probably too many to name off the top of your head.
I was really fortunate. The Jazz back in the day, I remember Dave Allred and Grant Harrison and myself. And I remember going in and I was about 3 years in. And I had told them, I said, I really want to start doing charity work. And, with them giving the stamp of approval, I was able to, that's when it all started rolling forward. And I was doing, 99% of my appearances were charity work or charity events. And with that, and it's not that that's what I was looking for, but came a little over 65 community and national awards for community service and stuff like
that's a lot of awards. Holy cow. And they're all right behind you right here.
Not all of them, but yeah, a couple keys to some cities and just a lot of, awards from police departments and fire departments and mayors and governors. And we got a couple of the governor awards behind you. So,
holy cow. And now I see that you've got three awards up here from the NBA as well for being mascot of the year.
Yep. I was mascot of the year five times. And then I was leadership award eight times. And then I had, what else did I have? I had skit and video of the year a number of times. And then I had the best video out of all sports, all leagues in the country once.
And a Hall of Fame.
And Hall of Fame, yeah.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
I suppose I should add that one too, yeah. And the Hall of Fame, yeah.
So when you were becoming the Jazz Bear in the beginning, what did the actual tryouts consist of?
It was really interesting because when I tried out for this job, it was I shouldn't have it. I'm going to be straight up.
Okay.
I really shouldn't because so I had previously mascot in some other leagues in the CBA, and I was going to school, and I was going to school to be an attorney, of all things.
Really?
Yeah, it was a bad... honest to God, this was a better choice, because I don't want to be an attorney. But it was at the time, I was like, yeah, that'd be fun. But I started that, and then did some CBA stuff. When I heard about the tryouts, because I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I had sent out a resume to every team, and then I got this letter back from Teresa Pryor from the Utah Jazz, and she said that they were going to have a three-team tryout, and it was with Seattle, the Sonics at the time, Sacramento Kings, and Utah Jazz. And I was just a poor college kid, and I remember I had sent in a tape after I got that letter back, and I remember trying to figure out a way to buy a ticket to Utah and then be able to afford, to stay a couple nights in a hotel. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to sell my truck. So I literally one morning went out, and I remember telling this to Teresa when she told me, but I went and I grabbed a paper, and I was looking in the classifieds, and I was drinking my coffee, and I was writing up a little ad for my truck because I was going to sell it, get an airline ticket, and have enough money for a room and all that stuff. Take a chance. And then I bet you it was 15 minutes later after I got home, I got a call, and it was Teresa Pryor, and she said, you're one of two people that we're going to fly out of all the applicants.
So you didn't need to sell your truck?
I didn't need to sell my truck. And I was like, no way. And I was seriously like sitting right here writing an ad for my truck. And so that was awesome. And then I came out, and there were 10 of us, and Alinco Costumes was the costume company that was supplying the gorilla costumes for us.
That's what you tried out in, was a gorilla costume, and everybody wore that?
Yep. Okay. Everybody wore costumes, and it was all, honestly, God, one costume just about, because everybody was about the same size.
Oh.
So.
Did it stink?
Oh, my health. So I remember I was the last person to try out, and I put it on, and it was like putting on like when you pee your, like I love how I just said that, when you pee your pants, like of,
oh yes,
everybody's,
I know. Oh,
done,
yes,
it,
I know.
Everybody's been there. But it was just this warm, icky feeling. It was heavy because of everybody's sweat. And then I put the head on, and when I cinched the head, it had these webbing straps that you pulled, and the foam in the front squoze to my forehead, and everybody's sweat rolled down my face.
Oh, that is so gross.
Oh, I was dry heaving. I really was. I was dry heaving, and I was like, this is not happening right now. So then I went out, I did my tryouts, and I honestly, God, didn't think I was going to get in, because everybody that was there had like, they were really strong at something. You know, Eli Akins, great kid, and he actually made it to the second tryouts, but he ended up going to the Globetrotters.
Oh.
And but he could jump out of the gym. He was dunking without a tramp. He was just amazing at dunking. But come to find out, after I got the job, I was watching what everybody did, and what everybody did was just their strong suit. And I was about the only person who did all five things that they asked in the tryout, which was dancing, tumbling, dunking, crowd interaction, and a skit. And I did all five. I wasn't good at any of them, really. I mean, I was just good. You know what I mean? It wasn't great. Not like those guys. And I just remember when I was watching the video, I realized I was the only one that really kind of did everything. And honestly, there was a kid from Arizona State University. He was a national gymnast. And he was actually supposed to get the Utah Jazz job. And the Phoenix Gorilla at the time, Bob Wolf, and the Charlotte Hornet, Mike Zarrillo, they were the judges, and they had recommended this kid be the Utah Jazz Bear. And so the Jazz were like, okay, we're going to watch, you know, and Seattle and Sacramento can have leftovers, basically, of whatever's left. And I remember he got done when I was watching on the video, because I didn't find this out until later, but he got done. He missed a dunk. As he was walking off the floor, he took the head off and he threw it.
Oh.
And he said the F word super loud.
And those are all things you shouldn't do. Curse
shouldn't
and
do.
Take the head off,
and
right?
Honest to God, that is about the only reason I got this job.
Well, congratulations on the other guy screwing up.
The other guy screwed up. I know. Isn't that sad?
Do the people that try out for this, I mean, did you used to play basketball? Slam dunking is not easy.
Nope. I was a farm boy.
You were a farm boy, but you figured out how to do it on a trampoline?
Yep. I came out here and started tumbling and stuff like that. And, well, so before this, though, I was working with a show gymnastics team that did mini tramp. So I was a mini tramp coach, but I wasn't a gymnast. I just learned. I was one of the only guys, and they needed somebody to move equipment. So
you had some tramp jumping in your blood.
I had a little bit, and it was, but I mean, because I only worked there for a number of years, but that's how I learned. I was just watching other coaches, and I just knew, okay, you got to lean back, you got to do this. So it was really weird. Like everything was destined. It was destiny for me to be the mascot.
Meant to happen, not to be a lawyer.
It was 100% meant not to be a lawyer. Yes.
They knew it was going to be a bear before you tried out.
Nope.
Oh, they didn't.
No.
Okay. So how much did you have? How much creativity did you have in creating the character and the costume?
So when we got there, they had a whole bunch of drawings. One was a Black Panther, and it was because of the Jazz. But then we were like, well, we want to break away from New Orleans, because the Jazz used to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, and there's not Black Panthers here.
And there's no Black Panthers here. And then the other one was the Jasmanian Devil. Do you remember the Tasmanian Devil?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of fun.
And then this big Jazz blob. It was so fun. And I'm just like, what the frick? What are we going to do with that?
Yeah, that's weird.
Then the next option, so we had four choices, and it was pretty easy to pick the Jazz Bear. The original, though, was a little heavier. And I remember I was about halfway through the season. I was like, we got to do some changes here, because, you know, as lean as it was still a little bulky around the hips and in the butt and on the chest. And so we took out a lot of the padding to lean me up so I could do more
jumps and athletic stuff. Because, yeah. our other bear here in town, Grisby, the yeah. Grizzly. And then, I'm from St. Louis, so the St. Oh, Louis nice. Cardinals have Fred Bird.
Yep.
Those are big, big round costumes. They're not the same thing. I don't see those guys doing a whole lot of jumping.
No, but they're all great mascots.
They are, yes.
They're great.
Did you think you'd be doing it for as long as you ended up doing it?
No, that's another story right there. So I was dating my current wife, Shauna, and when I got the job, I said, just stay here. I'll be back in a year. Because, okay, let me go back. So
you were dating her in North Dakota?
In North Dakota,
okay.
Yeah. She was a teacher, and I met her when we were coaching at American Gold Gymnastics. But so when they had the second tryouts, I still didn't think I got it. I got a call from Seattle, Sacramento, and Utah. They all offered me the job. I didn't call anybody back. And I remember Grant Harrison called me about another week afterwards and was like, did you take a job with one of the other teams? And I said, no. And he goes, well, what are you doing? And I said, I really don't know, Grant. He goes, why don't you come out for a year and let's see how it goes? And I said, okay. And that's what I told John. I said, listen, I'm going out for a year. Stay here. Don't move out. I'm going to go do it and I'll be back. And after my first year, they offered me another 3-year contract. And then I came home and got married and moved her out.
And you brought her. You brought her with you.
Yep.
To Utah. And how do you guys like it now?
Wouldn't leave for anything. It's amazing.
That's awesome. And she supported you throughout this crazy endeavor of yours.
Oh, dude, I had to drag her through it. But yeah.
Okay. She didn't go willingly necessarily.
No,
it is a crazy endeavor. What kind of training while you were the Jazz Bear did you, I'm assuming there are special workouts you did. And you said you did gymnastics and tramp stuff. I mean, is there specific training
really.
To do the crazy stuff you did?
Not really. So, but that's what I mean. I think growing up, you know, on the farm,
yeah.
I was a farm boy up in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I mean, everything I did, now that I look back, was basically my training to be this character. Like I would climb on, you know, all the ladders to get up on the barn, on the house, you know, I mean, on top of the Quonset, I was climbing everything and just, you know, just I look back and the stupid things that I thought, you know, were just being, you know, screwing around were actually things that I did when I was doing my job, you know?
Yeah.
And, but no, I didn't really have any, you know, specific training. It was just a matter of, you know, if I thought I could do it, I would try it.
Well, you had to go to the gym on the regular or at least work out on the regular.
You
or
know,
did you not?
I tried. I mean, I would
you're
go to the gym.
You're in great shape and you do amazing things.
I love you. You're just trying to make me feel good because I don't feel in great
I'm
shape.
I'm floored that you don't do a training.
It was, I mean, I was in way better shape when I was in suit. But it was, there's always, you know, the once in a million chance that you're going to hurt yourself. And I said, the more I practice, the closer to a million I get. So I'm just going to game it. And I'd always look at Luke, my assistant, and I'd be like, Luke, you know, because he'd always say the same thing. Aren't you going to try? And I said, listen, if I'm going to hurt myself, I'm hurting myself in front of 20,000 people.
You know, you might as well.
That way it's cool. And I said, but if I'm not.
Get it on tape.
Yep. That's exactly the way I looked at it. And then the other thing is when I did hurt myself, if I hurt myself in the back practicing, you know, I mean, I'd lay there and you'd be like, oh, this sucks. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How you would. But when I would hurt myself out on the court, I would just get up and, you know, you got to keep moving. Don't show that you're hurt. And I have a number of videos where there's this one where I crashed sledding down the stairs and it knocked me out and
I saw
cut my
video.
Forehead. Did you see that?
Yes.
And it knocked me out and you could see my body go limp. And just as I hit at the bottom, I started coming to and you could see my hands kind of like paddling, like just move, 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 because that's all I was saying.
Yeah.
And I got in the back and I had a big gash in my forehead and they stitched me up and, you know, it went back out. But if that would happen in practice, I'd have been like, oh, I don't want to do that again. But, you know,
it happened in front of everybody.
It happened in front of everybody, and you had to keep going. And I remember blowing my shoulder out up on a ladder and almost fell off the ladder. And
the ladder's really high. It's not just a little ladder.
Right. 25 feet. And then I remember I was doing a one-armed handstand, and I was so focused and just so, like, tuning out everything. I actually tuned out the pain in my shoulder, didn't realize I was levering over so far and didn't feel the pain, and all of a sudden just went pop, and I popped a ligament.
Oh.
And I started to fall, and I remember you can see in the video I'm coming down and my arm is like this, But if that would have happened in practice, I probably would have fell. But during the game, you have so much more adrenaline, and your ability is like three times what you would normally do during practice.
The audience energizes you.
It's amazing the energy that you can pull out of a crowd. 100%.
Is there a school to be a mascot? Obviously, you didn't go to one, but do you know of school? Is there like training centers or?
There are.
Is there a way that someone could follow a path to get to what you did?
There are, but. I mean, when I look back at like all the great mascots, you know, the Philly Fanatic, the Phoenix Gorilla, Rocky from Denver, you know, all those guys, the San Antonio Coyote, the, Chicago Bulls. I mean, none of us went to camp. None of them went to camp.
They call it camp.
Well, none of us went to a school, a camp. There's a bunch of mascot camps.
Okay, gotcha.
They're not going to teach you what you really need to know. And if you look, and like when I look back at all the old guys and how good they are, it's in them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You can't just say, I'm going to make you a mascot. Nope. It's got to be in you. And you need to have that creativity, and you need to have that, if it's called what, the innate ability to do this job. You can't just be like, I'm going to be a mascot and go train for it.
Right.
I have never met anybody that has done that and been successful.
Well, you're an entertainer. I mean, just sitting here talking to you, you're an entertainer. And no, that's what
you
were doing.
I just use my hands a lot. So I was a mime for 25 years. So that's how I'm like, oh, I can talk and move my hands.
Right.
Now.
I know exactly what you're saying, even when you're not saying it. So your career ended being the Jazz Bear in 2018. The news all said that you had been let go. You said that you had quit. What exactly happened?
I wanted to quit. It's everybody, and I say this all the time when we're doing it, everybody's one management change away from being let go.
Right.
And no matter how confident and good you feel and secure you feel about your job, it just, you know, if new management comes in, and it happens all the time, they want to put their own stamp on something. And if they can't put a stamp on you that they created you, then they want to get rid of you. Craig Sanders, the boss or the manager that I had before me, I mean, he had just this fairy tale ending for the Bear for my career and all this other stuff. And then new management comes in and it just all changed. And they got rid of him, and they got rid of anybody that was old, you know, from the old school.
Gotcha.
And so many people who were quit, and so many people got fired, and it just was a whole different world. And I really wanted to quit, but they beat me to it.
Were you, but if the new management hadn't come in and taken over and everything changed, would you have stayed doing it for longer?
Oh, hell yeah.
You would have done it?
No, 100%.
Until they kicked you out of there.
Until they literally wheeled me out of there, because I really, really loved it. The old Jazz back, you know, in Larry days, because the whole team changed when Larry died.
I mean, it
really did. The spirit of that team died with Larry, and Larry got it. The people that we worked with, that I worked with, that I was so fortunate to be part of back in the 90s and stuff. I mean, we were all family. We all still get together, you know,
aww.
I mean, from the 90s, you know, and matter of fact, there's a dinner coming up and Frank has it and all these old school Jazz people, and we still love each other and hang out and talk. And, you know, I miss that. And that's what I would stick around for. So I remember Gail came, you know, asked me to lunch, and she was asking me what was going on with the culture and the Jazz. And I remember
the owner, Gail.
Gail. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's a national podcast. I don't know if everybody knows.
Gail. But I remember she asked me what was going on with the culture, and I told her, I said, you know, it's this guy. And she looked at me, and she, you know, and I remember her saying, you know, yeah, you know, we're looking into that. And I said, Gail, Grant Harrison, who was the manager that hired me, you know, he'd been there for 18 years, I think it was, until he left because, you know, it was after Larry died, and he could see what was going on, and he's like, I'm leaving. And I remember when he left, I went into his office and I bawled like a baby.
Aww.
Like bawled, because he understood entertainment. He understood me. He understood the character. And I was panicked that the new management coming in wasn't going to get it. But I was really fortunate because Craig Sanders came in, he got it. And then Nate Randall came in, he got it. And I was so fortunate with those guys to come in, or managers, those managers to come in and be so supportive. And a great story with that one is like how cool they were was Nate Randall. he had asked me why I needed so many Bear Crew guys, because at the time I had like nine. And on game nights, I had these, they called them the Bear Crew guys, and we had a just so much fun with them.
They were your helpers?
They were our helpers.
Did they dress like bears as well, or did they look like basketball
players?
They
just had t-shirts on and sweat clothes, but they would run ladders out, and they helped out with contests, and they would help, you know, get me ready, and when we had big skits or something going on. And he asked why I needed so many, and I was trying to explain it, and I told him one time, and honestly, I didn't think he'd do it, and I said, why don't you come down and be one of the Bear Crew guys and see what it's all about?
Okay.
And it was so cool that he said, okay. So he came down, I dressed him up as Bear Crew, put a hat on him, and he went out and did everything they did. And afterwards, and he was awesome at it, by the way, and afterwards he goes, I get it. And it was like, you know, if more managers would do that,
right?
Get in the trenches and see what is, you know, actually going on, and, you know, getting their hands dirty, the businesses would be completely different. So, but then he ended up moving on. We got new management in, and then it just all was a debacle.
Yeah.
And I still remember they did there was a survey that was done, and they do it all the time with, you know, the team, the food, the, you know, dancers, bear, you know, all that stuff, all the entertainment. And this was when I knew it was over, is when I went in and I saw the survey, and Bear had a 96% approval rating, and when his popularity was third in popularity underneath Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, they didn't. They call me in 2 weeks later, and his name is Jeremy Castro, and I love throwing that name out. But I remember him, he just goes, hey, we want to change the character, you know, and I was like, what? And I go, I'm not broke. You saw the results. And he goes, sometimes change is good for the sake of change. And that's when it just started. You know, then I was like, well, I can't change. I mean, what you guys want me to be isn't me. And I said, the Bear wasn't created, you know, by shaking hands and patting heads. I go, that's just not who I am or and what the Bear is. Then it just turned into them cornering me, you know, like, okay, no more of this stunt, no more riding the motorcycle, no more doing this.
So they didn't want you to do the fun stuff?
At all.
They got get rid of all the fun stuff and only do the boring stuff?
Yep. And a lot of it was because they didn't create me. They were so narcissistic about, like, my team and my arena and then, like, what they built. And they tried to shove out all Larry, you know, the old school stuff. I mean, back then, at the same time, if they were taking out all of the old school players. They had, you know, all the old pictures in the hallways and stuff, took them all out.
Really?
Yep.
I guess I never even noticed.
Yep. So, but now the new owner, though, he's bringing it all back, which is awesome.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, there's a change.org petition to get you back. I'm sure you're aware of it.
Thank you. God bless you all.
And if that opportunity comes to go back, would you?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you have it. Hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. I'm talking to John Apsey, the original Utah Jazz Bear. When you were doing it, it was a full-time gig for you.
Yep.
Did you have a side gig or anything?
Nope, that was it.
That was it, your main career. So it's a career.
Oh, totally, yep.
And I'm not asking you what your salary was, but is it a lucrative career for the average mascot?
Not the average. So the NBA is the pinnacle. Everybody wants to get in the NBA.
Okay.
That's where you're talking. Everybody has a contract and an agent and really good salaries. Yeah, the NBA is really good.
The rest of them don't make quite as kind of, sounds kind of like radio.
A little bit.
No one makes good money except for a few people at the top.
but there are, like, there's a number, like, you know, in the NFL, like the Indianapolis Colts mascot, you know, he has, like, killed social media. You know what I mean? He figured it out. And he's got more followers than any sports team in the country. If you add it all up, it's 17 million.
That's crazy.
All of his social. Yeah, it's amazing.
That must have changed everything when social media came around.
It did. You know, and I was still old school because I remember all the younger guys coming in and they were all talking social media. And I remember they always called me grandpa because I never did social. They're like, you got to start doing it. And I said, no. I said, I'm more concerned about the people in Utah. I said, those are my fans. I go, why do I care what somebody in Miami or somebody in Des Moines, Iowa? I mean, I love them. God bless you for being a fan. But These are the people I want to entertain. These are the people I care about. And I was more important, or I thought it was more important to put a good show on the floor and not be too worried about, you know, how many likes did I get on social media? Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's killed mascotting social media. I 100% believe that, because now what teams and mascots are doing, and I had a mascot, I'm not going to say who it is, in the NBA, and I was talking to him the other day, and he just goes, you know, we were talking about how different everything is, and he just goes, you know, John, he goes, back in the day when we would write a skit or do a video, we had a beginning, a middle, an ending, and it made sense, and it was fun. And he goes, now, he goes, I'm getting dressed, I'm going to walk out in the hallway, I'm going to shoot a video for 20 seconds, I'm going to get 5,000 likes, and it's not going to make a lick of sense. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, but they love it because it people liked it. And he goes, and that's what our job is now. And I'm like, God, that's so sad, because I'm not a big, you know, fan of just doing something to get likes. I feel like everything I did had a purpose and a meaning.
Right, so, right.
It's just different now.
Was there more than one person that wore the Jazz Bear suit when you were doing it?
No, ma'am.
It was just you the entire time?
Yep, that's the way it is pretty much in all the pro leagues.
For all mascots, yeah. And that's, you probably don't know now, what they do now, is it one person doing it now? I mean, you did...
Four.
Oh, there's four people that do it now.
Yeah.
Because they don't do the stunts.
Right.
And they don't need to be you.
I found that out, yeah, because people would send me videos of the guy that would be in the bear suit dancing, and the guy that would be dunking, and the guy that would be doing the stunts and stuff.
So. Oh, so each guy has his own little...
His
own little bit. That's interesting. Are there any other secrets, like, that I should know about mascots?
No. Well, no, I mean, like, it's not everybody, just...
Just the Jazz Bear? Okay, the new Jazz Bears.
Yeah.
So you've randomly ridden a bull before as the bear.
Yep.
You've jumped through several rings of fire, lots of fire. You've skied down the stairs. You've sled down the stairs. You've rode a motorcycle dressed as the bear. How many tricks do you have up your sleeve? Like, what's the craziest stunt that you pulled in that outfit?
The craziest?
Yeah, your craziest stunt. The skiing down the stairs seemed pretty crazy to me.
You know what was cool about that? And this shows you, like, what it was like back in the old days. It was during the finals, and I was trying to figure out some new stunts, and I thought, okay, I'm going to ski down the stairs. And I was taking the skis down, but I was just on the metal. So skis just on the metal stairs.
Yes.
And it was so hard to control them, you know, and they were sliding and stuff.
Right.
And then we thought, okay, well, because then my tips, if they slid out, I was worried a tip would go on this chair and they'd spin. And I all of a sudden look down and I see this guy kind of helping move boards around. And I'm like, it's Larry Miller. It's like, and he spent an hour and... help me figure out how to ski down the stairs.
Really?
And that's so cool. And that's how I actually came up with the whole carpet thing, because I came down on carpet, if you noticed.
Yes, yes. And I was wondering how you were able to even do the whole thing watching it. Like, that's incredible.
But
right in the middle of the audience, you skied right down in the middle of the audience.
But it was awesome, because when we did it, I remember we were sitting there and it was really fun. I mean, because one, you're nervous because Larry's there, but two, you just kind of loosened up and we're talking about it and the boards. And he's like, I don't know if that's going to work, you know. But we talked, and then when we came up with the carpet idea, I go, Larry, that's going to cost a lot. And he goes, that's okay. He goes, as long as you don't kill yourself, that's okay.
They've got it.
So, but I remember, you know, that was one.
Tell me about riding the bull.
His name is Brad Harmon. And
the bull?
Nope.
Okay.
The guy that ran the Days of 47 Rodeo.
Okay.
And he had asked me to ride bull. And I was like, yeah, that'd be fun.
That seems like an insurance problem.
A little bit. But I remember I was like, yeah, that'll be fun. And then as it came closer and closer, you know, I went to the Westerner and practiced on that bull.
A mechanical bull?
Mechanical bull. And I'm telling everybody right now, the mechanical bull and a real bull are nothing.
No.
They're nothing similar. But I remember the day of, I remember I walked over to the pen and I realized, because I really did, I thought I'm getting a small bull, a little bull, you know, like.
A teeny tiny one. An itty bitty one.
And, you know, like high
real
school
friendly bull.
You know, but
nope. Bull.
I literally walked over and I remember talking to Brad and I'm like, so which one am I riding? He goes, it'll be one of these guys. And I went, what do you mean one of these guys? You know? And then I started getting panicky. And I remember talking to my wife. life, and literally, and I hate saying this, but I had tears in my eyes because I was like, because then Rob Smits, so at the time, Rob Smits was one of the world, class rodeo clowns, and he had caught me before I went out, and he just goes, listen, the bull has never seen anything like you come off its back before.
Right.
And he goes, when you hit that ground, be running. And I was like, what are you talking about?
The rodeo clown told you this.
The rodeo clown.
It's going to think you're another animal. I mean, you look like a bear.
And so he didn't know. The other rodeo clowns didn't know. And I just thought it was funny, though. So I get out there, and underneath, I remember they made me put on a flak jacket under my vest, or under my vest, under my costume. And I had this rodeo glove on. And I remember, I never talked in suit, but I'll tell you what, man, you want to talk about coming out of character? I was talking to everybody. Is this right? Can he do that? I'm like, whoa, and I was talking. But I remember they started cinching me down, and I remember they started to do a finger lock, and Rob Smits comes jumping over. He's like, no, do not lock him in. Don't lock him in. And they're like, oh, and they unlocked it. And so they just basically rested the rope in my hand.
Because the bull riders normally do that so that they can hang on.
Right.
Is that the deal?
Yep. And he was just worried. You know, he knew I'm going to come off quick. And he goes, if with the fur in my hand, he doesn't want me to get hung up.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't know what the hell to do. But I just remember we're sitting there. They get my rope in my glove, and I'm talking to this guy. He's kind of giving me a few pointers before I go. And then the bull leaned against me in the cage. All this weight's on my right leg. And I remember the guys kicking the bull to try and get him off of my leg because, I mean, it was sort of
smushing
it a little bit.
Ooh.
And it was funny because they go, you okay? And I nodded my head, and Rob opened the gate. And he was like, oh, he nodded, and boom, the gate opens up, and a rodeo, like an electronic bull, just rocks back and forth.
Right.
Dude, that thing took off, and it was like a rocket out off of my butt. And I remember I was holding in tight, and then I was on its butt, and I pulled back in, and I was on its butt. And then I came off, I hit the ground, and I ran over to the fence, and then it was like that aha moment. I get it. It's like, and I was like, I want to do it again. I want to do it one more time. And
really?
Yeah, but I ended up doing the state fair, and then a couple more days of 47.
How long did you stay on the bull for? How many seconds?
Oh, three. If that. Oh, man. Let me see. I bet you. I think
three's
it was three
not,
hops.
Three's
it was
not
three
bad.
Hops. Maybe two.
Okay.
So, but it was not long.
What is the worst injury you've ever gotten?
I don't know. I've had 13 surgeries.
Okay.
I mean,
you get injured a lot.
But they're not like horrible injuries. Like I remember holding Lou Ferrigno in a picture, you know?
Okay.
Because that was my thing, was picking people up. And I picked him up, and I'm like, and I'm just like, oh my God, this guy's heavy as hell. And the lady that was, if she would have taken the picture right then, we'd have been fine. All of a sudden, she was just like, oh, hold on, my lens cap's on. This is back in those days with actual cameras.
Right, right.
And she's like taking her time. And all of a sudden, I hear just this pop, and I'm like, ah, crap. And then she takes a picture. I set him down. I went in the bathroom, and I literally, it was like pushing a water balloon in my belly, and I just popped my guts out. So I got a hernia.
From holding Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah, that was.
Is he the Hulk?
He was.
Was the Hulk?
So.
That's insanity. Your identity was a secret this whole time.
Yes, ma'am.
Who knew? Out of the people that you knew, who knew that you were the jazz bear?
So like when I first started out, not many. And actually, even when I left, there were still people at the office that didn't know. They had idea, but not many really, really knew. And then...
Really?
Yeah, and then my neighbors, none of them knew. I mean, it was like, it was really interesting. Because when I did get let go, I just remember people that I'd known for a while, you know, the text, they're just like, you're, you know, blanking me, you know.
What did you tell people you did?
Game operations.
Oh, okay, so they knew you worked for the Jazz. They just didn't know what you did for the Jazz.
Didn't know what I did, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's kind of a hard secret to keep. Was it a big deal when your identity was revealed? And were you the one that revealed it?
No, they did.
They did?
Yeah.
Are you upset that they did that?
No.
Did you want to keep it a secret?
At first, I was, because for 25 years, it was so taboo. But now that I look back, I'm glad they did.
That's awesome.
Because I don't know if I would have, so I'm glad they did it.
Was it weird on a daily basis, like having to keep it a secret and talk to people? Like, did you run into people you'd see as the jazz bearer and then you wouldn't have your outfit on? And
yeah,
was it
and
strange?
That's what I hated.
Because
yeah.
I think I've met you as the jazz bear before.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've done stuff with you.
And I mean,
at the Jazz.
It's just, yeah. I hated
it. I didn't know it was you.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I liked meeting people for me and not the character. Because every time somebody found out who I was, I got treated different.
Yeah.
And I hated that. So I wanted people to know me and not the character. And then once they, we, you know, there was a long time relationship, then I didn't mind. But the hardest part, I think, was for my kids.
That's what I was going to say. How did your wife and your children handle it? And could they keep their mouths shut?
My kids were freaking amazing. And they kept it quiet for so long. And people would be like, "You're lying. I know your dad's a jazz bear." And then
a
number of times come home crying. You know, they called me this because they thought I was lying. And so they did a good job. They were
fun.
Awesome.
And I'm assuming the players and the coach all knew who you, everyone that worked for the Jazz knew your true identity, or did they?
Yeah, no. For the most part, unless they were new coming in. But I remember when I first got the job, I came out here in June. The Jazz had a golf tournament, and I remember standing there for a photo, and this tall gentleman was standing next to me, and I looked up at him, and I go, "Hey, how you doing?" I go, "My name's John." I go, "What's your name?" And he goes, "Jerry." And I go, "What do you do?" And he goes, "I'm the coach."
So you were just messing with him? Or
no,
you,
oh, I didn't know who the hell he was. Okay. I was like Jerry Sloan, because I was from a farm. I didn't keep track of sports.
That is hilarious.
But that was how I met Jerry.
And did anybody ever figure out your secret identity?
Yes. A lot of people did. Yeah.
but they kept your secret.
Sort of. I mean, yeah. I hated when that happened, but yeah.
Let's talk about the suit. Is it hot?
That's always the question. Yes.
It just seems hot.
It is hot. It's very hot. Dude, that's why, like I said, when you were like, "Do you work out?" And so it was like, you know, I always said it, and a lot of guys say the same thing, is there's suit shape and there's not suit shape.
You must be sweating all the calories out.
Oh, my hell. You would. I remember, you know, going out and I'd have a busy night and I wouldn't really get a break until halftime, you know, from start of the game to halftime. And I'd come in and I would just be dizzy, like just swirling, you know, and sit down and I'd have to take electrolyte pills and I'd be chugging, you know, Powerades. And
yeah,
then my electrolytes would get caught back up and then out you go. But yeah, it's and this is a great example. So I remember in the finals, I weighed, it was the second finals in the 98 there. And I weighed my shirts because I would change a shirt every time. And I weighed all my shirts and I wore them and then re-weighed them. And I had sweat 8 pounds.
Holy cow.
They weighed 8 pounds more because of all the water in there.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah, I mean, do the suits ever have like a little air conditioning thing inside of them, like the race car drivers have?
No. There's some guys that have bigger suits, you know, that have big heads and they'll have a little fan in there.
Oh, okay. At least a little something.
Yeah, but those don't really help that
much. Doesn't
help.
Did Jazz Bear get hit on a lot? Like, were you a Casanova?
Yeah. No.
When you were the Jazz Bear? I mean, it's got to be weird, but people probably were like, "Oh, I like him."
No, there are, you know, believe it or not, there are mascot groupies. I'm not going to lie.
Is there a mascot code of ethics? Like, what are the
rules?
Don't
talk. The other one is just always stay in character, you know, and I mean, no matter what. And that's where, when you get hurt, you can't all of a sudden lay there and writhe in pain, because that would, you got to get up, move on, and do it outside the portal, you know? Because there were a number of times you get hurt, I'd make it to outside the portal where nobody could see me, and I'd collapse.
Oh.
And I'd be like, ugh.
It's like Disney rules.
It really is, kind of, a little bit, yeah.
If you're the princess, you can't do anything crazy
out
there.
You know, just making sure, I mean, a big one was always making sure your hands were in sight, so stuff like that.
Are you competitive with other mascots? Are the you guys competitive with each other? Are you pals with the other mascots?
So when I came in, like, it was really competitive. Like, I mean, we hung out during like all-star games and stuff, but we never really talked shop because we wanted to be, you know, have our own thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I remember I couldn't understand that. And so I started the mascot conference way back in 96, 97.
Oh.
And nobody really wanted to come, you know, because they're like, "We don't want to, why would we share ideas?" You know what I mean? And I just said, because it only makes us stronger. Because I remember in football, my football coach, his name was Phil Myers, and he goes, "We're only as strong as our weakest link." And I sat there and thought about that, and because I still remember it, and I remembered it then. I said, you know, if we can help each other out, it helps the industry, it helps our whole profession, and it'll make us stronger. And I really believe that's why there was a period there at the end of the 90s and the early 2000s where the NBA mascots, they're like, we peaked. Like, we had amazing contracts, you know, and we just, you know, we're carte blanche, our own islands. And I think it was because, and I'm not saying me, but just with everybody sharing ideas,
yeah,
we really became like top of the, you know,
next level
of the next level. Yeah. Yeah. Because some of the stuff coming out was amazing. And it was because we started brainstorming. Cause I remember when we first started it, five guys showed up and then it turned into a must go. Like you wanted to go to conference,
right?
Because now I'm coming home with 40 different ideas. I'm hanging out with 40 guys or 30 guys that have, you know, the same creativity, and you know, you can think and just create so much more.
It's brainstorming. I'm
yeah,
sure that happens.
It was amazing.
And now you said guys, I read that there's only 30% of the mascots out there are women. Was it all men that you worked with when, or did the conference with?
Did you really read 30%?
30% women, 70% men. I think that statistic isn't just the NBA. It's all mascots.
Oh, they must be going really deep.
Sports mascots.
Sports. I know of one female mascot who was amazing.
Okay.
That was in the NBA for a while. Other than that,
not a whole lot of ladies doing this.
I don't know one other woman.
Man, if I was younger and starting a new career, I would want to do this.
Hell yes, you would. Of course you would. It'd
so
be
what?
Great.
What do you do now that you're not the bear?
So when I got done, I thought I'm going to retire, and my wife was like, "Hell no!" So I'm like, "Okay." So then I just kind of dabbled. When I got done, I think one of my biggest fears was that, you know, my identity belonged to the character, and it couldn't have been anything different. It was like when I left, you know, all those relationships came with me,
because yeah.
I'm a big believer in relationships and a big believer in you know, human beings.
You know everybody in this town.
I do know
literally everybody.
I do know quite a few people.
Yeah.
And if I don't know them, they've at least met me somehow,
right.
Some way, shape, or form. But I was really worried about that a little bit. And when I left, you know, those relationships came with me, which was amazing. And the one thing I wanted to continue was my charity work. I went to them and said, I want to do charity. And, you know, all of my appearances, for the most part, up until the end there, were charity events. And that's what I wanted to continue. I wanted to continue that give, you know, to give back.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I ended up, you know, and I still do, I try to help out as many charities as possible, you know, with the connections that I have and just with some of the connections with, you know, tickets or this or that, you know,
yeah.
Jazz apparel and, you know,
awesome.
Stuff like that.
Hmm. Have the fans ever turned on you? Like if the team wasn't doing well, were the fans ever mad at you?
Only a couple times. But they weren't fans. You know what I mean? The fans were awesome. Like real Jazz fans and myself, they awesome. I only had two instances, maybe three. I had a little problem with somebody, but it wasn't a fan. You know, one of them was at the rodeo.
Okay.
And he was one of the bull stock helpers or whatever.
Okay.
And he was just kind of a jack. And I remember I actually came out of character there and kind of got in a little fight with him.
Really?
And then another one was at a game, and this guy was a jerk too. So
I imagine they were maybe a little drunk. Were they a little drunk when they were getting mean? Like, who's mean to a Jazz bear?
You're
a man in a bear costume.
just egos. What had happened is he had tripped me, and I could have easily just gotten up and just kept going. But my character wasn't built around that.
Right.
My character was, I've
seen you shove children as the Jazz bear.
It's like, I've never shoved
children. It was hilarious watching you shove a kid.
That was for a skit, though. Just so the whole world knows, that was for a skit.
I was wondering if
that was a skit. But I had to get up and defend my character, my ego. This is my house. You can't, as a opposing team fan, treat me like this.
Yeah.
So that then it got ugly, and then it turned into a brawl. All in the back, so
where no one could see the
where
Jazz bear getting
see,
violent.
Yeah.
So the governor declared a day for you.
So Olene Walker did one, and Governor Herbert did one.
Oh,
and then so did.
You have 3 days.
Yeah,
that's hard to keep them track.
They
keep track
are
of
amazing.
Them.
Yes, God bless.
That's
them.
That's awesome. And it's the Jazz Bear Day, or is it you as the Jazz Bear Day?
Jazz Bear Day.
Jazz Bear Day. Yep. I still think I'm going to consider it your day.
Thank you.
What is do you have any advice for someone else who would want to do this for a living?
In today's, you know, the whole thing with mascotting and stuff, it's just, it's different. So it'd be tough advice. I mean, like, so All-Star Game came here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
a
whole
a
bunch
deal.
Of the mascots came. and we all went out for drinks and we were hanging out, and it was just hard. I felt bad listening to these guys, and everybody's just kind of miserable.
Oh.
Like, because like I said before, you know, it's not the same. You can't go out and do the things that we did before.
Right.
You know,
right.
And honestly, I don't think I'd have made it in today's world. My character was too edgy. You know,
yeah,
that
lawyers, and they stop everything from
they
fun
do.
From happening.
And it's just that people get so easily offended and they don't see the humor in it, you know, and they've taken the fun out of it. And I've noticed a lot of the guys are talking about getting out because it's just not fun, because they're so they've got this big ball and chain on them. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, and you have to be so aware of feelings. It's like, and I mean, I know where we're at, but it's just, you know, it's tough.
But overall, your 20 plus years of being Jazz Bear were, it's good memories.
Freaking amazing.
Best time of your life.
Best time. Like, honest to God. And that's why I wanted to do charity work. I literally felt so blessed to be able to do what I was doing and to have the ability to go out and give back. And I wanted to make sure that I did it. I had a vehicle, which was the costume and the jazz, to go out and do good. And I just wanted to make sure when I leave this planet that I've left a footprint on it and that I die with a full church. So there you go.
Talking with John was a delight. What he didn't tell you is that he now owns two businesses, Seago Promos, a promotional swag company, and Rocky Mountain Production, where he creates and makes mascot characters. If you want to sign the petition to make John the Jazz Bear again, there's a link to it, as well as John's businesses at delightfullydifferentpodcast.com. And if you know someone who lives life differently, I'd love to talk to them. Send them my way. Lexi, L-E-X-I, on the radio at gmail.com, or just go to delightfullydifferentpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe and rate and like and all of those things. Coming up next week on Delightfully Different, I'll be talking to a furry. Until then, have a delightful week.